That's good. Amen. I read something this morning. That song was somebody put on Facebook, said I'd like to be so filled with Jesus that when a mosquito bites me and flies off, it's singing, there's power in the blood. Amen. Amen. Praise God for his cleansing blood, the power in the blood. Amen. I'm thankful for Brother Fred's wife, who had a little more wisdom than her husband this morning, to give me my Bible back. Yeah, this sword right here, I've had it for 14 years, and I've taken it just about everywhere I've gone. When my military career, deployment, CDYs, it's all marked up and everything. I've got so much stuff in here. Oh man, I would have a heart attack if something happened to this. So, being the semi-wise person that I am, slow, but bought another Bible exactly like it. My boy and I were talking about it last night. I was just pacing the floor. He went out in the van and looked, and I went out in the van and looked twice, and we're turning the room upside down trying to find out what happened to my Bible bag. I don't care about the stupid iPad. I don't care about this right here, man. I'm telling you, I'm going to hurt you if you hurt my Bible, even if it's Fred. But I took a new Bible just like it, and I started transcribing all of my highlights and margin notes and underlines and things like that into the new book. But it doesn't feel the same. It's not worn. It doesn't have the stains in there where I've spilt coffee, tears, blood, literally in the pages here. It's just, you know, I can. He was saying last night, he's like, I feel you. You know, he said I can open up my Bible and just kind of feel it and can tell about where it is. You know, and it's just a piece of me. And I hope you feel that way about your Bible, amen. If you read it every day like you should, then you're going to appreciate having a copy of God's Word. And here I am. I'm sitting in a nice room you guys provided for us this morning with my iPhone, trying to go through scriptures there. So it's just. It's not alive, you know. It's just not alive like these pages, amen. And I went over some scriptures for the. This right here again, Fred. You can look at this. This is an old sermon I've preached before, but it's been years since I have preached it. And I'm more excited about, or more, I guess, honestly, concerned with the next hour. I want to teach you folks some things, share some things with you. But man, shame on us if we ever assemble together and we don't proclaim that there's power in the blood. Okay, I said it's a shame on us if we don't get together and we proclaim that there's power in the blood. Brother Fred and I were talking on the way over from Hollis last night, and he's an entertaining fellow, by the way. I don't know if y'all know that about your Sunday school teacher, but he's definitely got some entertainment value to him. Anyway, we're coming back and we're talking about how, just a little bit of our conversation, talking about how there's. In essence, what we came up with, there's a lot of saved people who aren't Christians. There's a lot of Christians who aren't saved. Okay, there's people that line the church pews where I go that are playing church. They're lost on the way to hell. My wife, the sweet lady you met here a few weeks ago, she sat on the church pew next to me, served with me in the bus ministry for years, and played church. Okay, if you don't accept Jesus Christ's sacrificial shed blood on Calvary's cross for cleansing you of your sins, you will die and burn in hell forever. Okay, it's kind of quiet. I'm sorry I'm preaching already, but it's just kind of my nature. I'm a straight shooter. I call it like I see it. I don't sugarcoat things a whole lot. But on that note, let's turn our Bibles, if you will, to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. And this is going to be chopped up, I'm telling you. And in the next hour, it probably isn't going to be a whole lot more organized. But I would challenge you, because Pinnock's isn't going to be as organized as maybe what you'd like to hear. I would challenge you to please bring a pen and paper to the next hour. Okay, write some things down, because, hey, I'm a little emotional. You guys have something really big next week. And I came here for this purpose, for next week. I wish I could be here. I was in North Carolina last week. A week before that, I was in West Virginia. The week before that, I was in Stevens Village. And the week before that, I was someplace else. And the day before Stevens Village, I was in Rampart. I've been all over the place. I'm getting kind of tired. When I get done here, I'm going home and changing my dirty clothes for clean clothes. And my son and I were flying down to Colorado. I'll be in at least four different churches down there just next week, and then I get home and change my laundry out again to clean clothes and fly over to Dillingham, Alaska, and fill the pulpit over there. And I'm looking forward to that being done because I'll have about 2 weeks where nothing's on my calendar. And today is my daughter's birthday. I wanted to bring her in a bad, bad way, but I think I'd be looking at divorce court when I got back from Craig if I took my little girl away from my wife for today. She is a cute little kid, and man, she's our deputation baby. She was born in 2008 while we were on the deputation trail. And just, man, you know, forgive the rest of my kids. Don't hold this against the rest of my kids. Most of my kids are much, much sweeter kids than this guy here. He's the one that looks ugly like his dad. So don't hold that against the rest of my kids. But my little Sarah Bella, man, I miss her. I got a lot of emotions going through me. Plus, I'm tired. And I was on an emotional roller coaster last night, not knowing where my Bible was. I'm telling you, I was about to have a fit. And then Fred wouldn't answer his phone, and his sweet wife did, but I got a hold of another phone number for him. And the adrenaline went away, and I finally got a little bit of sleep. But that's enough of an introduction. Let's get in the Word of God. Colossians, I told you to turn to Hebrews. I want you to turn to Hebrews. I'm going to try to find that passage myself. I'll preach out of Hebrews a little bit the next hour also. But in Colossians 1:19, listen to this, okay? In Colossians 1:19, it says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be in things in earth or in heaven." It says that it pleased him through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself. Brother Fred was talking about there at the very end of his message this morning about the ministry of reconciliation. You know, God reconciles things, and that's called grace, folks. We do not deserve reconciliation. We do not deserve to go to heaven. But he loved us so much that he gave his only son. You know, we had a lady back here holding a kid this morning. He's talking about the sacrificing of children, and she's gripping that baby, not this one. But God gave us his only begotten son. Let that sink in. His only begotten son, who was perfect. Not like these wicked Penix kids. Who cry and lie. You know, they tell lies. You're talking about what is a lie? A lie is a baby crying when nothing's wrong. The Bible says a man is a few days and full of trouble. A born speaking lies. You got little babies that tell lies. There's nothing wrong with me. I'm not hungry. My diaper's clean, but I'm going to cry anyway. That's a lie. And that's truth. I'm telling the truth there. I've got eight of them. They all did it. And this one was the worst one. And Mom will tell you he was the worst one. She could set her clock by it every night at 9 o'clock to 1, screaming, crying. But there was something wrong with him. He had colic, and we didn't know it. Learn a lot as a parent of children, don't we? At least we should. But anyway, it pleased God. It pleased him to look at us and say that my son's forgiven him. My son's blood has forgiven this man, forgiven this lady. And forgive him this wretched sinner in front of you this morning. Dear God in heaven, I thank you, Father, for an opportunity to be here. God, I pray, Father, that you'd help these people to keep up, Lord, in track of what you've laid on my heart to share with them. And God, I pray that you'd be glorified in all the things that are said and done here today. We'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Another thing, by way of introduction, I forgot to say thank you for voting to support us. That's a tremendous encouragement. I'm very excited about that. Very appreciative of that. Every month, my wife and I, we sit down and we scratch our heads. We try to figure out, okay, how little can we spend on our family, our personal budget, so that we can have more to spend in fuel and things to go out and preach more frequently in more places in Bush, Alaska. And, I appreciate that. It's very, very humbling that you folks want to partner with us, and we want to say thank you for that. And by any means, if you're ever up in Anchorage, I don't know why you'd want to go to Anchorage. I mean, you can go to Seattle cheaper than Anchorage. But if you ever go up to Los Anchorage, let us know. We're only about an hour from there, and love to come down and have dinner with you, or have you come out to our house and see the rest of my sweet kids. I mean, my brats, and fellowship with them, and it'd be a good time. So in Hebrews chapter number 12, this is a This normally a little bit longer message. I'm going to try to be done in 20 minutes because I'm a believer in Baptist Fellowship too, and I smell some of the good food coming in here. So I'm going to go through this quickly, and I'm trying. I'm not going to say duty because that sounds like our heart's not in it, but I want to dutifully present the gospel this morning. And just give you some thoughts here. Maybe you have been one of those people like my wife. Maybe you've played church. Maybe there's people here. I don't remember everybody here. Fred scarred me for life, so I'll never forget him. But some of you folks I don't remember from last time I was here. Remember all those places I told you? I mean, I've got a lot of names and faces people are telling me, and I just don't remember. I don't remember how many cups of coffee I had. I got to think about that. I mean, that's how bad my memory is. But Lord, help us all when I get to be 60 and 70. Amen. But I want to preach to you this morning about the blood of Jesus Christ, okay? I preached the gospel the last time I was here, but maybe you didn't get it, or maybe there's someone here that wasn't here last week. Last time I was here a few weeks ago, I don't know, okay? But whenever I'm sitting where you are and I hear a preacher preach the gospel, I'm on the edge of my seat. I want to hear it again. Tell me the old story. I don't get tired of hearing it. I don't get tired of proclaiming it. If there's people crazy enough like you folks to listen to me tell you the story of Jesus Christ, I want to tell it again. I love telling the story of Jesus Christ. I love the fact that I didn't merit any favor, but he gave it to me anyway. He reconciled me unto him. Mm. In Hebrews chapter number 12, let's look in verse 18. Normally I'll read quite a bit more here. Hebrews 12, verse number 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them any more. The context here is talking about Moses on Mount Sinai. We talked about that a little bit there this morning there, the contrast, the Old Testament and the New. Did I say Abraham? He talked about Abraham. This is Moses. But we did talk about the Old Testament there, the Old Covenant and the New. Okay, and let's look down at verse number 21. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake, but ye are come unto Mount Sion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn. This is the church age, okay? The law has been fulfilled by Jesus Christ by this time. Hallelujah. And it says there, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator. We referenced that this morning, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. It says there, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse him not that speaketh. The blood of Jesus Christ speaks something this morning. What does it speak? What does the blood of his cross say to you? I got this message from one of my best friends. Well, I guess he is my best friend in the ministry still to this day, Brother Dan Carr, down in Gulfport, Mississippi. And if I had my way, I would be in hot, flat, sweaty, ugly Mississippi this morning instead of beautiful, tropical, southeast Alaska Craig, amen, on Prince Wells Island today, because he's my best friend. I wanted to serve the Lord alongside of him. He is a preaching machine, man. I'm telling you, he is a preaching machine. He can do a whole lot better than me. I got this message from him. It just a simple message. What does the blood of his cross say? It speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse him not. Have you refused the blood of Jesus Christ? You know you're a sinner, right? Are you a sinner? Don't lie and say no. You're a sinner. Every one of you, hey, I'm a sinner. See that you refuse him not that speaketh. Okay? Because if you refuse that, you'll spend an eternity in hell's flames. And you're never getting out. Hell's hot, hell's real, hell's forever. Okay? Understand that. If you don't understand anything else that I say this morning, understand that hell's hot, hell's real, hell is forever. And if you go there, the sad part about it is you go there with your sins paid for. Because God already pleased himself in the sacrificial blood of his son on Calvary's cross in your place and mine. See that you refuse him not that speaketh. Okay? See that you refuse him not. What does the blood of his cross say? Okay. John 3:16. Somebody quote. Anybody. Just stand up. Anybody. Whoever stands up first. Okay. I'm not standing up. You stand up. John 3:16. Amen. What does the blood of his cross say? It says that God loves you. God loves you. John 3:16. God loves you. That's what his blood says. It says that he loves you. See that you refuse him not that speaketh. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And you say, well, man, I wasn't even alive when Christ died. How can he pay for my future sins? I'm not even sinned tomorrow, but tomorrow's not here yet. But you know what? Every single one of your sins, every single one of mine were future sins when Christ died and paid for that price on Calvary's cross. With his blood. He shed his blood voluntarily for you and for me. He could have called legions of angels, the Bible says, and rescued him from that. But he laid his life down. He freely gave up his life for you and for me. Because he knew it would please the Father with his blood. Here in this passage of scripture, I skipped over it there, the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. It was a covering for sin. I don't know if I gave you this illustration. Okay, I've got a scar here on my arm, and you can see that, but I've got a covering for it. Okay, I've got a covering for my scar, and you don't see that. You don't know there, but you know what? It's still there. There's an imperfection. Okay, but Jesus Christ's blood, the blood of bulls and goats covered up sin, the Bible says, but Jesus Christ's blood cleanses us from all sin. From all sin. Hallelujah. Not just the little ones, not just the big ones, but all of them. All of them. Even when we were lying as a baby and saying, Mama, come and get me, something's wrong, nothing is. See that you refuse him not that speaketh. My friend, it's not going to end well for you if you refuse Jesus Christ's sacrificial blood on Calvary's cross. It will not end well for you. What does the blood of his cross say? It says that God hates sin. Proverbs 6:16-19, he gives a list of these things. He says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. What does the blood of Christ say? It says that God hates sin. He hates sin. He can't let sin in his presence. He turned his back on his only begotten Son when he took upon himself the sin of the world. God turned his back on his Son because he can't look at sin. What does the blood of his cross say? It says that he hates sin. How much does God hate sin? When Noah built an ark, did God hate sin? He destroyed the earth. He destroyed the whole earth. His whole creation destroyed it with water. How about Lot's day? He destroyed two whole cities, the entire cities, the women and the children too. He destroyed them. Lot and his wife got out, and they were reluctant to leave. The angels had to drag them out. God hates sin. That's what his blood of his cross says. It says that God hates sin. He says that he loves you. The blood of his cross says that God hates sin. Over 2,000 years ago, God hated sin so much, he destroyed his own Son. See that you refuse him not that speaketh. Oh, man. I didn't give my life. I definitely risked my life to save another man from drowning. I swim about as good as a rock with wings on it. And there's a man. There ain't a man in here. Even Brother Deal's not as big as this guy. He's out there, and he's coming for me. Brother Winston is probably like from here to the other side of the street, maybe even the house over there. And that's a long ways for me to swim by myself, much less with a guy his size on my back. And he's coming for me, and I really thought he was going to drown us both. I can't outswim him, so I just went under the water and got behind him, and I got on him, and I got him on his back, and I drugged that man that far in the water. I risked my life for that man, okay? Jesus Christ voluntarily gave his life for you and for me. God hates sin. God destroyed his own Son. For you and for me. What does the blood of his cross say? It says that God loves you. It says that God hates sin. But get this, hallelujah. It's not Jesus Christ's blood plus our good works. Said this morning in the Sunday school hour. Says that Christ's blood is sufficient. There is nothing else that you can do to make Jesus Christ's blood better than it already is for a sacrifice for your sins and for mine. Hebrews chapter number 10, let's go there. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 says, for the law having a shadow of good things to come. A picture of Jesus Christ, that law there. Okay? Verse number 4, it says, for it is not possible that blood of bulls and goats should, what? Take away sin. It covered it. The Bible does say that it covered it. It hid it. But it's still there. Okay? In verse number 6, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Okay? God was trying to show man that they're insufficient, incapable of taking care of their own sin load. That's what that was, that Old Testament law. Verse number 9 says, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, the old covenant, the new covenant, by the which will we are sanctified, hallelujah, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Amen? Once for all. Praise the Lord. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never, circle that word, never take away sins. Can never take away sins. But this man, all man, all God, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. One of Jesus' last words was this. Well, it was his last words. It is, what? Somebody help me out. It is finished. It says, Jesus Christ's blood says that his blood is sufficient. It is finished. There's nothing that you can do. Y'all listen up. There's nothing you can do to justify yourself. It's Jesus Christ's blood and him alone. What does the blood of his cross say? It says that his blood is sufficient. His blood is sufficient. I'm halfway done. Looky there. We might get out of here on time. What does the blood of his Christ, of Christ's cross, what does the blood of his cross say? Let's look in Galatians. Galatians chapter number 2. And you could go on. I've got six things that Brother Carr shared with me in prison. I went to prison. First time I was ever in prison. Brother Carr came with me to prison. I got some people looking at me. Now, I've never been convicted, locked up, and hauled to prison, but I have preached in prison a few times. Amen. My first time I ever preached in a prison was Brother Dan Carr. He gave me these things there. In Galatians chapter 2, verse number 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Christ is the only way to heaven. What does the blood of his cross say? It says that he loves you. It says that he hates sin. It says that his blood is sufficient. And it says that he is the only way to heaven. Look over in chapter number 3, verse number 24. We alluded to this already. Galatians chapter number 3, verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by the law. No, not by the law. By what? Faith. Without faith it is what? Impossible to please him. Faith in what? I meet people around Alaska villages all the time. They have faith in the Aurora Borealis. They have faith in the rivers. They have faith in the God of the moose, okay? But no. Faith in Jesus Christ's blood, okay? His blood is sufficient. He is the only way to heaven. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You and me being here in America, I mean, hey, you got guys going to Kenya. Who's going to Kenya? You folks? Who else? There's three people going. Okay. All right, so three people is going to Kenya. You're going to see a different culture over there, okay? I've never been to Kenya, but I already know it's a different culture, just some studies I did when I was in the military. a different kind of people, but the same way to heaven. Amen. It says that he is the only way to heaven. What does the blood of his cross say? It says that God loves you. It says that God hates sin. It says that Christ's blood is sufficient. It says Christ is the only way to heaven. John chapter 10, 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber." Think he's going to make it into heaven? Nope. Man tried a long time ago to reach heaven, right? Tower of Babel, y'all remember that? Brother Fred's been doing some research, and, you know, I told him last time I was here, I came to check you guys out. He's been checking me out since I told him I was checking him out. But my house was nicknamed, brother, the Tower of Babel by the people in my church. I didn't build that house. A guy started that house, and it just kept going up and up and up. And us guys who would come out there, you know, we come out there and help him work on it in the summer of 1998, and come out there the next week, and it's a little bit taller. We're like, two floors? Okay. Come out there a few weeks later, three floors? You know, what in the world are you doing, man? It was abandoned for several years, and so it became the Tower of Babel. But God's done something magnificent with it. We thank God for it. We own it now, and it's finished. Hallelujah. And no, it doesn't go to heaven. Amen. It says, him that cometh any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. What does Christ's blood say? It says that Christ is the only way to heaven. Two more and I'll be done. Hebrews, go back to Hebrews, chapter 9. Same scripture that I was in last time I was here. I believe I preached in this scripture. Verse number 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." What does the blood of his cross say? Common sense would tell us that if there was no life after death, if there isn't a hereafter, why would Christ come to earth and die? Okay? Why would we not just, as he was saying, let's just live a life full of sin so that more grace, Paul said, God forbid. You know, what shall we sin because we're under grace and not under the law? God forbid. But what the blood of his cross says is that there must be a hereafter. We're going to go someplace. We're going to spend an eternity someplace. I'm going to heaven. Not because I deserve it, but because Jesus Christ died in my place on Calvary's cross, shed his perfect blood in sacrifice to pay for my sins. And I've accepted that, and I've asked for that gift. It's a gift. It is a gift. And I possess it, amen? And you can have the same gift this morning. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can leave here with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life right next to mine. And I'll see you in heaven. And we'll have sweet fellowship over there. We won't have this wicked flesh to contend with. Amen? It says that there must be a hereafter. Okay? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. And lastly, what does the blood of his cross say? It says that Christians should give God their best. We owe Jesus something. We can't justify ourselves, but we owe him something. That guy that I drug across the water, he owed me something. Some gratitude would be wonderful, wouldn't it? Just a simple thank you. How about every day when you get up and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for a beautiful day in Craig, Alaska." I put up on Facebook, "Hey, cloud failure in Craig. Man, this is beautiful. I'm loving this. This is absolutely beautiful. Thank God for it. He's the one that did this. I didn't do this. You didn't do this." It says we should give God our best. The blood of his cross says that God loves you. God hates sin. Christ's blood is sufficient. Christ is the only way to heaven. There must be a hereafter. Christians should give God their best. We should give God our best. Oftentimes, we only give God our leftovers. Husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus Christ gave himself for you and for me, for this church here. This is a body of believers, not the building we're in. It's the body of believers, okay, local church here. If you're a blood-bought, born-again Christian, you've been baptized into the membership of this church, you're a body together, okay? And Jesus Christ wants you and me to glorify him. God wants us to glorify his son, okay? He gave us his son. He died for us. We should live for him. You've probably heard that. And I thank God he called me into full-time ministry. Okay, and 2 Corinthians, let's go over 2 Corinthians. I'll give you a couple more scriptures and we'll be done. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Verse number 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Paul told us, he commends us here, live for him. He died for you, you need to live for him, amen? Look over in, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. I'm sorry, Romans chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that you're not your own, you're bought with a price, and wow, what a price that was. Amen, what a price that was. We should give God our best, not our leftovers. I'll be honest, man, before I understood, the teachings of tithes and offerings are two separate things, by the way. Tithe is what's God, that he's trusting you to give back to him, and offerings is things that you do out of your free will to be a blessing to others, to please the Lord, and he'll bless you for those things, okay? But we need, oftentimes, when I was, oftentimes I didn't make much money when I first went in the service. I got $700 a month. And it was hard to write a check out to missions. It was financially hard. I wanted to, but financially it was very difficult. And oftentimes, I would catch myself wanting to give God my leftovers, which normally wasn't anything. And boy, that's how it is sometimes in this flesh is we're tempted to give God our leftovers, which oftentimes is nothing. But we should give God our best. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, Brother Fred was talking about this morning. He said 200, and it was the National Geographic, not the Reader's Digest that you read there, brother. Yeah, am I the only one that caught that? Okay, I got plenty of mistakes in what I'm saying this morning. But you said, I read in the Reader's Digest, it's the National Geographic. At least that's what it said on the front of that. But I've got plenty of mistakes this morning. He's only teasing me, so, back at you, brother. But, he said 279 children. I think that's what you said. They sacrificed. Those people killed 279 of their children trying to please God. That's not going to please him. Remember, we already said that his blood is sufficient. You're not going to add to that. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, the Word of God says. Okay? He doesn't want us to sacrifice our kids. He doesn't want us to kill our kids. He doesn't want us to cut ourselves. He wants us to what? Live for him. Offer him our bodies a living sacrifice. If my body's in a grave somewhere, it's not going to do anybody any good. But hallelujah, praise God, he counted me faithful, called, putting me into the ministry, and I'm here before you this morning as a living sacrifice to preach and declare the name of Jesus Christ before you this morning, amen? That's what he wants from each and every one of us. There's some gospel tracts. I saw some gospel tracts here somewhere. There's some gospel tracts here. Take those things and give them out. They do work. They absolutely work. I just visited with a guy last week in North Carolina that said he got saved because a guy at work gave him a gospel tract. And he kept that gospel tract for a long time and read it over and over and over. And when he understood, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. We ought to give God our best. It's the reasonable thing to do. It's just a reasonable thing. It's our reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What does the blood of his cross say to you? Just these things I listed here, I'll read them again. God loves you. God hates sin. Christ's blood is sufficient. There must be a hereafter. Christ is the only way to heaven. And that we should give God our best. How about you this morning? What does any of these things kind of ring a bell with you? What does the blood of his cross say to you? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you, Father, for loving us so much that you'd send your Son to die in our place. Dear God, I pray, Heavenly Father, that if there's anyone here that has never accepted your Son, Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they accept your Son, Jesus, and that no one here this morning would walk out of the doors in a lost condition, Lord, I pray that nobody walk out of the doors here the same way they came in, including myself, dear God. I pray, Father, that you'd help me, Lord, to give you my best, to do more for you, and to tell others that your son's blood is sufficient. God, help us to be faithful in that. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'd be with my family, Lord, while we're apart. Thank you, Father, that Caleb and I could be here. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for a church that has been faithful these years. And God, I do pray, Heavenly Father, that you bless our fellowship around the food that you provided. And God, I pray, Father, that the next hour, Lord God, that you would just please help things be done decently in order, in a way that be pleasing to you, and bring glory and honor to your Son, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen.